This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nastahdihi. Wa na'udhu billahi ta'ala min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وبعد Respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله Praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are honored and privileged to be here today once again. From Salatul Asr to Salatul Maghrib, inshallah. If you remember, some of you who attended a previous talk of mine in this masjid, where we talked about the obligation to the creation of Allah, huquq al-ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about the importance of entering into Islam completely, totally, wholeheartedly and fully. We talked about the verse of the Quran where Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّ O you who believe, enter into Islam fully. Don't take parts of the Book of Allah and discard other parts of the Book of Allah. Take Islam in its totality and act upon Islam all the injunctions of the Qur'an and Sunnah. And I also briefly mentioned that there are different categories, there are different branches of the teachings of Islam. We have aqa'id, we have ibadat, and we have mu'ashara, akhlaq and mu'amalat. In the previous talk, we talked about mu'ashara, social etiquettes, how to deal with one another, how to live as family members and as relatives and as Muslims and as human beings. The whole talk was focused on social etiquettes and adab. And then I mentioned that the next branch, which is one of the very important branches of Islam, is the branch of mu'amalat. Mu'amalat means business transactions, financial transactions. And basically, mu'amala in Arabic, the linguistic meaning of mu'amala is from the word ta'amul. Mu'amalat is a branch. We said we have aqa'id, belief, we have ibadat, worshipping Allah, then we have mu'ashara, which we discussed, ishra, living with one another, and then we have akhlaq, that's number five, rules to do with the heart. And number four, this is what we're talking about today, which is mu'amalat. Mu'amala, ta'amala, yata'amalu in Arabic literally means to deal. But in the context when we are categorizing the various rules of Islam, the fuqaha, the ulama generally mean by the word mu'amalat, not just any deal or no deal, but the financial dealings, business dealings, the financial transactions. Financial transactions, that's what really the fuqaha mean by mu'amalat. And this is actually one of the branches from the teachings of Islam. One of the very important branches of Islam. Kasbul halali faridatun ba'da al-faridah. The famous hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he states, seeking of halal sustenance, seeking of halal provision, rizq halal, seeking it. Earning a livelihood, earning a halal livelihood. Faridatun ba'da al-farida. It's an obligation after obligations. Meaning that for a Muslim to seek a halal livelihood and earn a provision is an obligatory, compulsory, fard act. It's not something that's a worldly activity. It's an Islamic and a religious activity to seek halal earnings. كسب الحلال فريضة بعد الفريضة. And in this hadith, actually two things are quite significant. Number one, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم, he says كسب الحلال, indication earning a halal livelihood. Not just halal. People listen to this hadith and they, of course, rightly so, they understand that earning a livelihood and earning money and working is a very important obligation. This is what Islam says, yes. But there's a hidden indication here. Not hidden, it's explicit. But some of us don't realize, because when we look at the hadith, it's all about earning, because we look at it from an angle, earning money. Earning of halal, which means it's an obligation to avoid the haram. Earning of a halal income, earning halal livelihood, is an obligation, it's fard. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it's fard. بعد الفريضة. And then he said it's an obligation after other obligations, which also signifies that this is not your aim, purpose, goal of life. Your aim and purpose and goal of life is akhirah, is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your attention, your focus should be on the next life. This life is a short life, and we earn a livelihood just to get by in this life. We don't earn to live in this world. This world is temporary. Monetary gains, money, wealth is just something that takes us and makes us live this life. That's it. Nothing else. We don't make it our objective of life to earn money, where we don't even have time for anything else. Allah says in the Quran, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَةِ. These are people, Allah is praising certain individuals. He says, these are people whom business, trade and sale and buying and selling does not stop them, does not make them negligent and neglectful from the real duties of their life, which is iqamatu salah, offering salah, worshipping Allah. A Muslim has an ulterior goal, another motive, which is akhirah, the next life. Earning of money is just something that gets you by in this life. And that's why to be so heavily engrossed in earning at the expense of one's religious activities and duties, at the expense of even giving attention to one's own family members. We see in a time today that people are so engrossed in earning money that they don't even have time to spend with their own children. Seriously, there are people who are so engrossed in earning and working and with their jobs, they don't even have a time to have one meal with their family. What benefit is in the money that does not even allow you to eat food with your family members? There's no benefit. What is the benefit? Sometimes we work like animals. Day, night, day, just one thing on our minds. Earning money. And we don't even see the fruits of it. Before we even see the fruits of it, it's time to leave this world. Life of 50, 60 years. We don't even see the fruits of it. So this is what this hadith is signifying. That لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. Real richness is not richness of wealth. Richness is the richness of the heart. It's the contentment of the heart. A person can have less wealth and less money in the world, but if he or she is content with that less amount, that individual will be far superior than the one who earns much more but is not happy, still greedy, not content. لو كان لابن آدم واديا من ذهب لابتغى أن يكون له واديان من ذهب. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, greed is such a disease that if the son of Adam has one valley made of gold, he'll seek and want two valleys of gold. And if he has two, لابتغى ثالثا, he'll want a third valley. And then he said, لا يملأ جوف ابن آدم إلا التراب. Nothing will satisfy the stomach of the son of Adam except sand, dust, which is the grave. He'll just keep wanting more and more and more. And this is why we have to learn to be content. Contentment. And that brings about peace. Money doesn't bring peace. Money can't buy peace. People have a lot of money in this world. But still, there are people who are millionaires. But they have to take medicine to sleep at night. They literally have to take medication. They can't sleep. They have all the luxuries, the best bed and the best pillows. and the most beautiful of mansions, in the midst of that mansion, they are not able to sleep more than an hour or two. They're frustrated, they're depressed, because money and wealth and mansion, none of these things can ever bring peace into the heart. Money cannot buy peace. The only thing that can buy peace is contentment and the dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikrullah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. With the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find contentment. We have to learn to be content. You know, this is actually one of the ingredients to be happy in this world. We all want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy in this world. One of the golden ingredients to be happy in this world is to be content. Rida bil qadar. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka sihhata wal iffata wal amanata wa husna al khuluqi wal rida bil qadar. He used to ask for five things. This is a hadith in the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi. Oh Allah, I ask of you health, sihhata wal iffata, chastity. Allahumma inni as'aluka sihhata wal iffata wal amanata, trustworthiness, wa husna al khuluq, good character, wal rida bil qadar, to be content with destiny. Whatever Allah has given me, I am happy, I am content. Even though it's less. A life where you earn little, but you have time to spend with your family, with your children, you are at ease, you have peace, you have tranquility, is far much better. You're far in a better position where you're earning and working day and night, and you don't have no peace and no time to share with your family anything. Because ultimately the money itself is not going to do anything. It's that quality time that you can spend with your loved ones. So we need to remember that. This is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, it's okay. That kasbul halali faridatun ba'da al-farida. Seeking of halal is an obligation after the various obligations. Our ultimate aim and objective is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our ultimate aim and objective. But yes, earning a livelihood. The other extreme is what happens is that people think, okay, we do tawakkul, reliance upon Allah. We are people of Allah. Allah will look after us. We rely upon Allah. We have trust on Allah. We'll make dua and Allah will send provision from the sky and from the heavens. Somebody will post some bananas from the letterbox and money will come. No, we're not of those people as well. We live with reality. We deal with reality. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that seeking of a halal provision is an obligation. We have to work. We don't go to extremes. That extreme where people have no... the objective becomes earning wealth. That's an extreme. And the other extreme is where people say, we'll worship Allah. We'll come in the masjid. We'll sit in the first saf, in the first row. We'll just keep on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll make dua and Allah will take care of all our affairs and we won't work. That's a wrong attitude to have as well. We are the balanced people. The Muslim ummah is a balanced ummah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a middle ummah, a balanced ummah. We look at things with moderation. We earn as much as we need to, but we ensure and we realize that our ultimate objective is not this life, it's the next life. And we earn money, and we earn a livelihood, and we seek sustenance and provision because Allah has obligated us to do so. It's a responsibility and it's a duty for us to earn a livelihood, for us as men, for example, and husbands and fathers to provide for the family, for the children. So we have to earn. And that's why there's a lot of reward in earning a livelihood. But remember, halal livelihood. There's two hadith in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, two famous hadith. There's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "At-tujjaru yuhsharuna yawm al-qiyamati fujjaran illa man ittaqa wa barra wa sadaq." All the traders, all the businessmen, this is about halal. All the businessmen, at-tujjaru, they'll be resurrected, they'll be raised on the day of judgment, fussaqan, as sinful people. Is that it? Don't get too scared. All the traders, all the businessmen, all the restaurant owners and takeaway people and all the people in factories and shops and everywhere, all the traders, on the day of judgment, this is a Hasan, Hadithun Hasan, sound hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan. They'll be all yuhsharuna, raised on the day of judgment as fussaq. Fussaq is a plural of fasiq. They'll be all sinful. Don't stop here. Illa, then it carries on the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Illa man ittaqa wa barra wa sadaqa, except the one who feared Allah. And number two, he was barra, he was righteous in his dealings. Wa sadaqa, and he was truthful in his dealings. The other hadith in the same chapter, Imam al-Tirmidhi also relates a similar type of hadith, wherein the picture is from the other angle. Here the exception, everybody is sinful except the few who are righteous and truthful and trustworthy. The other hadith is painting the picture from another angle. He says, At-tajir as-saduq. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, At-tajir as-saduq al-ameen ma'an nabiyyina wa siddiqina wa shuhada'i wa salihin. A tajir, a tradesman, a businessman, a trader, a merchant who is saduq, truthful, and he is ameen, he is trustworthy. On the day of judgment, ma'an nabiyyina, he'll be raised with the prophets. Wa siddiqeen, and the righteous people. His resurrection will be with the shuhada, the martyrs. Wa salihin, and the pious, righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at these two hadiths. In other words, this hadith, these two hadiths of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is dividing, classification, is dividing and categorizing and classifying the traders into two different categories. We have people who are doing trade, people, and most of us, we are involved in business activities. Those of us, we are involved in trade.
وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are honored and privileged to be here today once again. From Salatul Asr to Salatul Maghrib, inshallah. If you remember, some of you who attended a previous talk of mine in this masjid, where we talked about the obligation to the creation of Allah, Huquq al-Ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about the importance of entering into Islam completely, totally, wholeheartedly, and fully. We talked about the verse of the Quran where Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter into Islam fully. Don't take parts of the Book of Allah and discard other parts of the Book of Allah. Take Islam in its totality and act upon Islam, all the injunctions of the Quran and Sunnah. And I also briefly mentioned that there are different categories, there are different branches of the teachings of Islam. We have aqa'id, we have ibadat, and we have mu'ashara, akhlaq and mu'amalat. In the previous talk we talked about mu'ashara, social etiquettes, how to deal with one another, how to live as family members and as relatives and as Muslims and as human beings. The whole talk was focused on social etiquettes and adab. And then I mentioned that the next branch, which is one of the very important branches of Islam, is the branch of mu'amalat. Mu'amalat means business transactions, financial transactions. And basically, mu'amala in Arabic, the linguistic meaning of mu'amala is from the word ta'amul. Mu'amalat is a branch. We said we have aqa'id, belief, we have ibadat, worshipping Allah, then we have mu'ashara, which we discussed, ishra, living with one another, and then we have akhlaq, that's number 5, rules to do with the heart,
And number four, this is what we're talking about today, which is mu'amalat. Mu'amala, ta'amala, yata'amalu in Arabic literally means to deal. But in the context when we are categorizing the various rules of Islam, the fuqaha, the ulama generally mean by the word mu'amalat, not just any deal or no deal, but the financial dealings, business dealings, the financial transactions. Financial transactions, that's what really the fuqaha mean by mu'amalat. And this is actually one of the branches from the teachings of Islam. One of the very important branches of Islam. Kasbul halali faridatun ba'da al-farida. The famous hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he states, seeking of halal sustenance, seeking of halal provision, rizq halal, seeking it. Earning a livelihood, earning a halal livelihood. Faridatun ba'da al-farida. It's an obligation after obligations. Meaning that for a Muslim to seek a halal livelihood and earn a provision is an obligatory, compulsory, fard act. It's not something that's a worldly activity. It's an Islamic and a religious activity to seek halal earnings. كسب الحلال فريضة بعد الفريضة. And in this hadith, actually two things are quite significant. Number one, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he says كسب الحلال, indication, earning a halal livelihood. Not just halal. People listen to this hadith and they, of course, rightly so, they understand that earning a livelihood and earning money and working is a very important obligation. This is what Islam says, yes. But there's a hidden indication here. Not hidden, it's explicit. But some of us don't realize, because when we look at the hadith, it's all about earning, because we look at it from an angle, earning money. Earning of halal, which means it's an obligation to avoid the haram. Earning of a halal income, earning halal livelihood, is an obligation, it's fard. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it's fard. Ba'da al-farida. And then he said it's an obligation after other obligations, which also signifies that this is not your aim, purpose, goal of life. Your aim and purpose and goal of life is akhirah, is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your attention, your focus should be on the next life. This life is a short life, and we earn a livelihood just to get by in this life. We don't earn to live in this world. This world is temporary. Monetary gains, money, wealth is just something that takes us and you know, makes us live this life. That's it. Nothing else. We don't make it our objective of life to earn money, where we don't even have time for anything else. Allah says in the Quran, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَةِ. These are people, Allah is praising certain individuals. He says, these are people whom business, trade and sale and buying and selling does not stop them, does not make them negligent and neglectful from the real duties of their life, which is iqamatu salah, offering salah, worshipping Allah. A Muslim has an ulterior goal, another motive, which is akhirah, the next life. Earning of money is just something that gets you by in this life. And that's why to be so heavily engrossed in earning at the expense of one's religious activities and duties, at the expense of even giving attention to one's own family members. We see in a time today that people are so engrossed in earning money that they don't even have time to spend with their own children. Seriously, there are people who are so engrossed in earning and working and with their jobs, they don't even have a time to have one meal with their family. What benefit is in the money that does not even allow you to eat food with your family members? There's no benefit. What is the benefit? Sometimes we work like animals. Day, night, day, just one thing on our minds. Earning money. And we don't even see the fruits of it. Before we even see the fruits of it, it's time to leave this world. Life of 50, 60 years. We don't even see the fruits of it. So this is what this hadith is signifying. That ليس الغنى عن كثرة الأرض ولكن الغنى غنى النفس. Real richness is not richness of wealth. Richness is the richness of the heart. It's the contentment of the heart. A person can have less wealth and less money in the world, but if he or she is content with that less amount, that individual will be far superior than the one who earns much more but is not happy, still greedy, not content. لو كان لابن آدم واديا من ذهب لابتغى أن يكون له واديان من ذهب. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, greed is such a disease that if the son of Adam has one valley made of gold, he'll seek and want two valleys of gold. And if he has two, لابتغى ثالثاً, he'll want a third valley. And then he said, لا يملأ جوف ابن آدم إلا التراب. Nothing will satisfy the stomach of the son of Adam except sand, dust, which is the grave. He'll just keep wanting more and more and more. And this is why we have to learn to be content. Contentment. And that brings about peace. Money doesn't bring peace. Money can't buy peace. People have a lot of money in this world. But still, there are people who are millionaires. But they have to take medicine to sleep at night. They literally have to take medication. They can't sleep. They have all the luxuries, the best bed and the best, pillows and the most beautiful of mansions. In the midst of that mansion, they are not able to sleep more than an hour or two. They're frustrated, they're depressed, because money and wealth and mansion, none of these things can ever bring peace into the heart. Money cannot buy peace. The only thing that can buy peace is contentment and the dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikrullah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. With the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find contentment. We have to learn to be content. You know, this is actually one of the ingredients to be happy in this world. We all want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy in this world. One of the golden ingredients to be happy in this world is to be content. Rida bil qadar. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka as-sihhata wal-iffata wal-amanata wa husna al-khuluqi wa rida bil qadar. He used to ask for five things. This is a hadith in the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi. Oh Allah, I ask of you health, as-sihhata wal-iffata, chastity. Allahumma inni as'aluka as-sihhata wal-iffata wal-amanata, trustworthiness, wa husna al-khuluq, good character, wa rida bil qadar, to be content with destiny. Whatever Allah has given me, I am happy, I am content. Even though it's less, as a life where you have earned little, but you have time to spend with your family, with your children, you are at ease, you have peace, you have tranquility, is far much better. You're far in a better position where you're earning and working day and night, and you don't have no peace and no time to share with your family anything. Because ultimately the money itself is not going to do anything. It's that quality time that you can spend with your loved ones. So we need to remember that. This is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's okay. That kasbul halali faridatun ba'da al-farida. Seeking of halal is an obligation after the various obligations. Our ultimate aim and objective is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our ultimate aim and objective. But yes, earning a livelihood. The other extreme is what happens is that people think, okay, we do tawakkul, reliance upon Allah. We are people of Allah. Allah will look after us. We rely upon Allah. We have trust on Allah. We'll make dua and Allah will send provision from the sky and from the heavens. Somebody will post some bananas from the letterbox and money will come. No, we're not of those people as well. We live with reality. We deal with reality. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that seeking of a halal provision is an obligation. We have to work. We don't go to extremes. That extreme where people have no, the objective becomes earning wealth, that's an extreme. And the other extreme is where people say, we'll worship Allah. We'll come in the masjid, we'll sit in the first saf, in the first row. We'll just keep on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll make dua and Allah will take care of all our affairs. And we won't work. That's a wrong attitude to have as well. We are the balanced people. The Muslim ummah is a balanced ummah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a middle ummah, a balanced ummah. We look at things with moderation. We earn as much as we need to, but we ensure and we realize that our ultimate objective is not this life, it's the next life. And we earn money, and we earn a livelihood, and we seek sustenance and provision because Allah has obligated us to do so. It's a responsibility and it's a duty for us to earn a livelihood, for us as men, for example, and husbands and fathers to provide for the family, for the children. So we have to earn. And that's why there's a lot of reward in earning a livelihood. But remember, halal livelihood. There's two hadith in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, two famous hadith. There's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "At-tujjaru yuhsharuna yawm al-qiyamati fujjaran illa man ittaqa wa barra wa sadaq." All the traders, all the businessmen, this is about halal. All the businessmen, at-tujjaru, they'll be resurrected, they'll be raised on the day of judgment, fussaqan, as sinful people. Is that it? Don't get too scared. All the traders, all the businessmen, all the restaurant owners and takeaway people and all the people in factories and shops and everywhere, all the traders, on the day of judgment, this is a Hassan, hadithun Hassan, sound hadith related by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan. They'll be all yuhsharuna, raised on the day of judgment as fussaq. Fussaq is a plural of fasiq. They'll be all sinful. Don't stop here. Illa, then it carries on the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, illa man ittaqa wa barra wa sadaqa, except the one who feared Allah. And number two, he was barra, he was righteous in his dealings. Wa sadaqa, and he was truthful in his dealings. The other hadith in the same chapter, Imam al-Tirmidhi also relates a similar type of hadith, wherein the picture is from the other angle. Here the exception, everybody is sinful, except the few who are righteous and truthful and trustworthy. The other hadith is painting the picture from another angle. He says, "At-tajir as-saduq." The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "At-tajir as-saduq al-amin ma'a an-nabiyyin was-siddiqin wash-shuhada'i was-salihin." A tajir, a tradesman, a businessman, a trader, a merchant who is saduq, truthful, and he is amin, he is trustworthy. On the day of judgment, ma'a an-nabiyyin, he'll be raised with the prophets, was-siddiqin, and the righteous people. His resurrection will be with the shuhada, the martyrs, was-salihin, and the pious, righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at these two hadiths. In other words, this hadith, these two hadiths of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is dividing classification, is dividing and categorizing and classifying the traders into two different categories. We have people who are doing trade, people, and most of us, we are involved in business activities. Those of us, we are involved in trade. There's only two categories that we can fit ourselves in. There's no middle way here. This is what these two hadiths are saying. You're either in box one or box two, in category one or category two. Either you're in the category, if you're a good trader, then you're very good. And if you're a bad trader, then you're a very bad trader. There's no middle way. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, either you'll be resurrected on the day of judgment as a fasiq, as a sinful individual, or you'll be with the anbiya and the righteous and the prophets and the martyrs and the righteous and the siddiqeen and the truthful people. There's no middle way here. And this is this is something that we really important and delicate, and something we really need to be careful about. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has divided the merchants and traders into two different categories and two different boxes, in two different areas. Either that we have traders who are resurrected as sinful fusaq individuals, or we have those who will be with the anbiya, the nabiyyin, the prophets, the righteous people, and the martyrs, the shuhada, and the salihin, and the truthful people. Now, from the two categories, I'm sure all of you and all of us, we want to be in the category where we are resurrected with the prophets, with the martyrs, with the righteous people. How do we do that? Because if we are not in that box, then we're going to be in that category. If we're not in that box with the prophets, here there's no choice in the middle that, okay, we don't want to be with the prophets, we'll just be a bit down here. No, because there's no other category. If you're not with the prophets and the righteous people as traders, then the other category is that you'll be resurrected as a fasiq, as a sinful person. So we have to ensure we're in that category. How do we ensure that we are in that category? There's two things which the ulama, based on the nusus and the text of the Quran and Sunnah, they mention two things. Number one, for a person, there's two things. Number one, the first thing is very simple, and the second point and the second way how we get ourselves in that category, in wherein we are with the traitors and we are with the prophets and the righteous and the martyrs. The first point is that we correct our intentions. This is a very simple thing to do. We correct our intention. Our intention should be that we are earning because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated for us to earn. It's a fard, it's an obligation, it's a duty, it's a responsibility. We need to earn a livelihood to provide for our family, for our children, for our spouses. We need to eat ourselves, we need to provide for our children with the strength we get, inshallah. We will worship Allah, we'll serve the deen of Allah, we'll do some khidmah for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll help people, we'll give some in charity, we'll give in the path of Allah, with all these righteous, noble intentions. So before earning, remember, Islam is such a beautiful religion that even our worldly activities become activities of deen with just the changing of one's perspective. This is so unique. Not even our eating, our drinking, our sleeping, our walking, our talking, whatever we do, we just change our perspective, the way we look at it, we change our intention, and intention is in the mind and the heart. An-niyatu amalul qalb. It's not something we have to even say it verbally. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, one of the great imams of this ummah, he was a great muhaddith and a great jurist and a great faqih, as well as a great spiritual individual. Al-imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiyallahu anhu, he said, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُكَبِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُصَغِيرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. Sometimes you have an act that seems very small, very minute, something as small as maybe just picking up a dust from the carpet or picking up some dirt from the road. Something very small, apparently it seems very small and something very insignificant. But the intention behind it makes it so huge and so great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person will be shocked when he sees a reward for it in the next life, because there is ikhlas and there is sincerity behind it. And on the other hand, he says, وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ. Sometimes you have a major act. Apparently it seems that you've given £400,000 to construct a masjid, but the intention behind it is to show people. The intention behind it is that so that people say, wow, what a person, he gives so much money as charity. The intention behind it is just name and fame. Major act. A person gave £2. Remember, according to Allah, numbers don't matter. Quantity doesn't matter. Quality matters. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone gave £2, the ikhlas and sincerity behind that. If he had that ikhlas, which the person who gave £500,000 didn't have, the person with £2 has far more reward. So he says sometimes we carry out major activities, but the intention behind it makes it a small, insignificant act according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the two hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I was saying, that there's two areas in which people fall into. The first thing we need to do is make the intention, correct our intention. And number two, the second point is that what we do is we need to ensure that if we want to be in that category of people who are traders with the prophets and the anbiya and the righteous people, we have to ensure that our trade and business is in accordance with the rules of Islam. And I'm going to go through some points which I think are very important for us to realize and for us to understand. But it's very important we earn a halal livelihood, brothers. And in order for us to be with the righteous people, for us to be with the prophets and with the shuhada and with the martyrs, we need to earn halal sustenance. And remember, haram is not just sinful, but it brings about, it removes the barakah from our wealth, from our homes, from our families. Remember, it's not just about the ingredients. It's about also the money that we use to purchase the item. Sometimes we look at ingredients, We look at an item, okay, crisp packet, E49672E43E96. We're so over-obsessed with E numbers. But then you ask the brother, what's your job? I work in a bank. You could be eating some dates and it'll be haram. Buy halal dates. Your money, your work is in a bank. It doesn't matter. You're involved with interest. You could eat, you know, you could drink water, buy some water, and that'll be haram for you. So sometimes we need to realize that it's the money, the income that we provide. Even in a marriage, many times in marriage courses I've discussed that the sisters, they need to actually, you know, ensure that the brother they want to marry is actually earning halal livelihood. Is he able to provide you with halal income, financially support you with halal income? Not any type of income, halal income. Check what his job is. And that's the way we get into the category of the prophets and the righteous people. Mu'amalat is three quarters of religion. Earning a livelihood is three quarters. Or maybe one quarter. If we say, remember the four different categories, we have ibadat, we have mu'ashara, and we have akhlaq, and we have mu'amalat. You know the books of fiqh, look at the books of hadith, look at the Quran itself, number one. Allah talks about the longest verse in the Quran. You know what the longest verse of the Quran is? The longest verse in the Quran where Allah goes into detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even give us the details of prayer in the Quran. There's no way even in the Quran mentioned this four rak'at of Salatul Asr that we just performed. No way in the Quran. But pick up the Quran, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. The longest verse, Ayatul Mudayana. إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَاكْتُبُهُ Oh, you who believe, when you take a credit transaction, when you take a loan from somebody to a fixed time, فَاكْتُبُهُ, write it down, make a contract. Person A has taken 20 pounds, even 10 pounds, even 5 pounds from person B and will pay off on this time. One of the greatest sins a person can leave this world with is a debt that is unpaid. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yughfaru lishahidi kullu dhanbin illa dayn." A martyr in the path of Allah. We talk about the whole world. We want to, you know, sort out the whole world, and we want to give our lives and be martyred in the path of Allah. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You can go in jihad and get martyred, but if you've left one penny that you pay someone, that won't be forgiven in the next life." Imagine such a severe hadith. The martyr, everything is forgiven except illa dayn. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua. He would seek the protection and refuge of Allah from min ghalabati dayn. And this is why the scholars mention it's actually not a good idea to take a loan unless absolutely necessary. Without a need, a person should not get into the business of taking loans unless genuinely you are in need of taking a loan. Otherwise, just live your life. Don't get a credit card. Live on your debit card. These credit cards, they're disastrous. And that is a whole trap. It's a whole game. Live, and this is why people get into problems later on. People get depressed because they're living beyond their means. Islam says, don't live beyond your means. It's a whole trap. And really, it's recommended not to have credit cards. Unless you definitely need it. Don't have credit cards. Just have debit cards. We should live with what we have. The longest verse in the Quran, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin. O you who believe, when you take a loan, write it down. وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ. Let the just person write it amongst you. This is person A, taking a loan from person B, will pay it off on this date, on this time. This is the longest verse in the Quran called Ayatul Mudayana. The longest verse in the Quran is not about four rak'at of Asr. It's not about wearing a hat. It's not about wearing a thawb. It's about what? It's about credit transactions. Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, heard of Imam Muhammad, great Imam. The student of Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu. Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. Somebody asked him, he said, Oh Imam, you've written many books. لِمَ لَمْ تَكْتُبْ فِي الزُّهْدِ شَيْئًا You've compiled and authored many books, and he was an author of great books. We don't see any of your books that you've compiled regarding zuhd. Zuhd is like another word for tasawwuf, which means abstinence from the world, you know, being a righteous person, being a pious individual, someone who's really, really godly, someone who's a really close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't see a book of tasawwuf of yours. He says, haven't you seen my book? He said, which one? Haven't you seen my book, Kitab al-Buyu', the book of business transactions? That's tasawwuf. That's spirituality. That's spirituality. We think spirituality today is having a big subhan, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. That is good. We should read. But if we're doing all of that and long adhkar and istighfar and this recitation and that recitation, but we've got some money that we owe someone and we haven't paid it on time, none of this is going to be of any benefit. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in a hadith of Bukhari, مَطَلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ مَطَلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ. Just listen to this hadith. مَطَلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ. The one who has money, despite having money, he doesn't pay the money back to the one who gave him the debt. This is the one who dilly-dallies. مَطَل means dilly-dallying. You know, it's just, here, I'll pay you tomorrow, okay, brother. مَطَلُ الْغَنِيِّ. This person is guilty of the sin of dhulm, oppression. We talk about the whole world oppressing the Muslim ummah. You're the first person oppressing the Muslim ummah. You're talking about people oppressing Muslims. If you're not paying your loans on time, that's one of the greatest of oppressions and suppressions in the eyes of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we call financial dhulm. This is what we call a financial oppression, economic oppression. So we need to be very careful. Imam Muhammad, what did he say? Haven't you seen my book on Kitab al-Buyu', the book of business transactions? This is what tasawwuf is all about. You can't have spirituality. You can't have tazkiyatul qalb. You can't rectify and purify your soul and your heart if your dealings, monetary dealings, are not in line with the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la ta'kulu amwalakum baynakum bil batil. Allah says, do not consume your wealth amongst yourselves unlawfully. Illa an takuna tijaratan an tarad. Unless it's through trade which is mutually agreed. La yahillu malu mri'in muslimin illa bi tibi nafsin min. Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another Muslim's wealth is not halal for you unless it is with his, not just with his permission, with the contentment of his heart. SubhanAllah, imagine the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not use the word permission. For me, it is not halal to take the brother's wealth, except not with his permission, contentment. There's a difference between permission and contentment. He might give me permission, but he might not be happy in his heart. We go to a shop, brother, you know, put it down, £8, no, £5, you know, I say, put it down, and he's looking, there's a big queue, and this guy's eating my head, okay, just take it, come on. We've actually stole his money, or his wealth, it's haram. This is what this hadith means. لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم. Unless you know there's a place where the person, like, for example, it's normal practice and custom, that before they even see your shoes, they look at your shoes and they double the price. Okay, some shopkeepers do that. They've doubled the price, and they know that you're going to go from 12 to 12, from 24 to 12. It's really going to go there, and you know, then that's fine. But sometimes you know you're really pressurizing the seller. You're really pressurizing the seller to decrease the price. The hadith of price. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it is not halal for you to take the wealth of another person, except with not just his permission, but the contentment of his heart. So this is what Imam Muhammad said. This is spirituality. This is piety. To have ensuring that your dealings are according to the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, you know, this has an impact on our ibadah. This has an impact on our worship. If our dealings are not in line with the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, our ibadat, it has an impact on it. We can offer salah, but we won't attain the khushu' and the khudu'. And the spirituality in our worshipping Allah, if our dealings are not correct with other people, even our du'as are not supplicated. We ask all the time, oh Allah, you know this, oh Allah, help the Muslim ummah. Oh Allah, help the Muslim ummah. We say, we make du'a, Allah's not helping us. Allah's not accepting my du'a. Have you checked the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari and elsewhere? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam talked about an individual, it's a long hadith, that there was a person who had 101 reasons, many reasons, for his dua, for his supplication to be accepted. He was a traveler. He was in a disheveled state. And he said, Ya Rabbi, he used the word Ya Rabbi. رَجُلٌ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Raising his hands, dua with raising one's hands was greatly accepted. And Ya Rabbi, he was crying out to Allah. But his dua was not accepted. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that despite all these reasons for his dua to be accepted, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ, his food was haram, وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ, his drink was haram, وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ, his clothing is haram, meaning haram money to use clothes, to buy, purchase clothes. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ, he is nourished on haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ, how can his dua ever be accepted? Who's saying this? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has a negative impact on our dua, our salah, our recitation of the Quran, our worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, it's very difficult to rectify huququl ibad. If there's a problem between us and Allah, we can just raise our hands and say, oh Allah, shed a few tears and ask forgiveness, Allah's forgiven. At-ta'ibu min adhanbi kama la dhanba la. Allah forgives. Very easy. But if it's something between me and another servant of Allah, Allah will not forgive until I don't go and pay back the loan or the debt or seek forgiveness from Him. It's very difficult. Huququl ibad, we have to be very careful. We rather be neglectful. We shouldn't be. But rather, if there's a choice of being neglectful between huququllah and huququl ibad, then rather we be neglectful in huququllah than huququl ibad. And this is the reason why the ulama say huququl ibadi muqaddamun ala huquqillah. Because here you need the forgiveness not from just from Allah, but even the person whom you have wronged. So it's very important, especially monetary matters, mu'amalat. So the two categories, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the two categories. What did he say? That we have traders who will be resurrected as sinful people. And there are traders who will be resurrected with the prophets. In order to be with the prophets, number one, I said, intention needs to be rectified. Number two, the way we do our business, the way we earn should be in a halal manner, in a manner that pleases Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It has to be in accordance with the rules of the Quran and Sunnah. We must ensure we do not do any unlawful activity. These are the two things. So number one, the intention, and number two, the way, the method of business and the method of trade has to be halal. Unfortunately, we live in a time regarding which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. A time will come on the people where they will not care where they've taken their money from. People will not be concern as to where they earn their wealth from. Amin al-halal, amin, whether it's from halal or haram, people won't care. This is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And this, we are living in a time. People, because you see, the objective is to earn. Now, however I can get my hands on this money, this wealth, whether through halal means or haram means, doesn't matter. I need to get my hands on it. Full stop. Because the objective is wealth. The aim and objective is wealth, greed, the love of the world, hirs, which is greed, which is a disastrous, severe spiritual disease of the heart. And first we need to rectify that spiritual disease. And then we need to ensure that our dealings. Now, many things we are involved in. I'll just mention one or two things that just came to mind. One of the great, when people are dealing and transacting, one of the major haram activities, riba, one of the major harams, interest, being involved in interest is absolutely, categorically, totally forbidden in Islam. Allah has, there's no other sin that has been given as severe warning as the interest of riba has been given. There's declaration of war from Allah and His Messenger. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Leave riba. If you don't, remember, Allah and His Messenger are declaring war against you. Riba is a major haram, a major. It's worse. It's a qati'iyu thubut, something which is haram in an absolute qati'i manner, decisive manner. There is no doubt. There are no two opinions about it. Right? There's no two opinions. It's just like zina. It's just like, or even worse, it's like backbiting. It's like alcohol consumption. People say, oh, we live, you know, it's difficult to get a house, etc. Okay, it's difficult. But if you're in a state where it's like difficult, like you would drink alcohol, likewise, if you're in that state where you would drink alcohol, if you're in that state, take a house or mortgage. There's no difference. Is there a difference between alcohol consumption and interest? No difference. So yes, Islam says, الضرورات تبيح المحظورات. When you're in absolute dire necessity and in a dire situation, prohibitions become prohibited in Islam. فَمَنْ يُطَرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَدٍ. If somebody is dying out of hunger, eat pork. If somebody is dying out of thirst, drink alcohol. It becomes permissible. Somebody is going to die on the road in freezing cold because he doesn't have a shelter over his head. It'll be halal for him to get involved in interest, otherwise not. There's no difference between alcohol consumption and between zina and between riba. There's no difference. There's no difference whatsoever. So riba is one of the severest of sins. There's numerous hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the point he says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ أَكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَشَاهِدَيْهِ وَكَاتِبَهُ. In another riwayah he said, whom sawa'un. Allah's curse is on the taker of interest, the giver of interest, the witness to it, the scribe, the writer. All of them are cursed by Allah. Imagine. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ أَكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ. The witness, the one who is witnessing the transaction, the one who's writing the transaction of interest, the one working in a bank, in a financial institution. A person working in a bank, it's a haram job. He needs to try his best to get out of that job as quick as possible. Because his daily being, he's involved in interest-based transactions. And being part of any interest-based transaction based on this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is unlawful. Even working in insurance companies, not permissible. Because it involves interest, it involves something else which is also clearly haram. Qimar, gambling. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask you about alcohol consumption. وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Maysir, gambling, chancing, qimar. This is haram as well. Many Muslims buy lottery tickets. How can they do that? People go and bet. You know, I think there was racing today or something. Somebody was saying there's a big Grand National or something like that. Muslims go in these, you know, Ladbrokes and they go and bet. A'udhu billah. How can a Muslim ever get involved in the sin of gambling? It takes away your iman, gambling. One of the major haram activities. One of the major haram activities. And there are other forms of gambling as well, which sometimes we overlook. Things like, for example, you know, sometimes they give these tickets and things like that. We have to be very careful. Check it up with the qualified people and the scholars. There may be some shows or something and say, okay, purchase a ticket and you're paying £1 whenever you're paying money, and then you have a chance of winning something. A lot of it is gambling. Sometimes people, you know, there's quizzes and on shows. Make a phone call. Normal phone rate is 10p a minute or 5p a minute. But this one costs £1.50. Why? The rest of the money is gambling. All the money collected, purchasing of the price. There are forms of gambling, and we need to acquaint ourselves with the rulings of this. And there are many other things. This is all halal income. Tatfif. In the previous gathering, I talked about tatfif briefly. I ended the talk with tatfif. Tatfif is one of the greatest sins a Muslim can involve himself in. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. In the last juz of the Quran, what does Allah say? وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا كَتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Woe unto be who? The people of Tatfif. Who are the people of Tatfif? Mutaffifun, mutaffifin. Allah is talking about the people who commit the sin of tatfif. These are the people, الَّذِينَ إِذَا كَتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ. When they give people through measurement, when they take from people through measurement, يَسْتَوْفُونَ. They ensure they take every grain, every drop. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. When it's their time to give to people through measurement and weight, then they give a bit less. Allah says, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. don't these people realize they'll be resurrected on the day of judgment? يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ When all of mankind and humanity will stand before Allah and will have to give reckoning for every ounce and every penny and every inch of the activities. This is in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Tatfif, you know the people of Shu'aib, peace be upon him, alayhi salatu wa afdalu taslim. They were known, they were involved in many sins, but they were known for this sin. Sin of what? Giving less through measurement and weight. Allah says this in the Quran, many places. Sayyiduna Shu'aib, peace be upon him, he used to tell his people, he said, Ya Qawmi, he said, Awful Kail, Wazinu bil Qistas al Mustaqim, give full measurement and weigh with balance weight. Make sure your measurement and your weight is full. Give people their due. وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسِ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ Don't decrease the things of people when you give them, when you sell them. لَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُخْسِرِينَ And they were known for this sinful activity. And because of that, they did not listen to Shu'aib, peace be upon him. Because of that, Allah punished them. And that punishment is in the Quran. Allah says, فَكَذَّبُوهُ They rejected his da'wah. They rejected his nasiha to stop the sin of giving less. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَخَذَهُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمِ الظُّلَّةِ They were overtaken by the punishment of what? Of dhulla, of the cloud, the canopy. So some of the commentators, the mufassirun of the Quran, they explain this punishment that Allah sent for 3 days burning, scorching heat into the village, into the town, because of this sinful activity they were involved in. And they were gasping for water. It was really hot. And then after 3 days, a cloud. This is dhulla. This is the commentators have mentioned this. This particular is not actually in the Quran. The Quran only says Yawm Dhulla, but the commentary, which the commentators, the Mufassirun of the Quran, when they mentioned, they said the Dhulla means that Allah sent a small cloud, which had breeze in it. All the people just felt so relieved. After 3 days, we've got some breeze. So they all went and assembled under the cloud, and suddenly the cloud changed into burning fire, engulfed them with fire, and Allah punished them all. Because of the sin of tatfif. Tatfif also includes what employers and employees do. Employer not giving full salary on time, his wages of the employee. Sinful activity. Hadith of Sunan of Al-Imam Ibn Majah, sound hadith. أَعْطُ الْأَجِيرَ أَجْرَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجِفَّ عِرْقَهُ Give your employee his wages before his sweat becomes dry. Don't make him wait. Before his sweat has become dry, he's finished his job. Give salary, wages on time. Don't just abuse people just because they've whatever, you know, give them £2.50. Less than the minimum wage. Don't take extra work from people and give them less. And also the worker, the employee. That's for the employer, for the employee as well. Tatfif means the worker, he needs to work with due diligence. It is actually part of this tatfif. Giving less in weight and measurement is also working less. You have a job to work in an office and you're checking your own emails all day long. If you've got an understanding with your boss, fine. If you don't, every minute that we spent in other work activity, we have to give the wages back. Haram money coming into our pockets. Every minute, Allah will question us for every minute of our time of work that we worked in accordance or not. People sell things, items, you know, saying that it's pure, advertising is pure items. Many Muslims involved in, and these are Muslims, we're not talking about non-Muslims. Fraud, deception has become, unfortunately today, the hallmark of Muslims. We pray that Allah change the whole world. If we are deceiving everybody else, how is Allah going to help us? مَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, whoever cheats is not from us. It's not even from the Muslims, according to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fraud and deception. People use fraud certificates. People deceive others. sell items, advertising them to be what? To be pure. There's a hadith of Sunan ibn Majah, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever sells, man ba'a ayban lam yubayyinhu, someone sells an item with a defect and he doesn't disclose it, he doesn't tell the customer, لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي مَقْتِ اللَّهِ وَتَلْعَنُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, he remains in the anger and wrath of Allah and the angels keep cursing him. This is the hadith of Sunan of Ibn Majah. Islam is not just about keeping a beard, brothers. This is also Islam. Ensuring, you know, Imam Abu Hanifa, the great Imam Al-A'zam, people like to call him radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Many people claim we are followers of Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, the great Imam. You know what? He used to be in business and trade in the beginning. Then he concentrated on of course, fiqh and teaching of deen and searching and investigating and researching. But he had a side business. He had a shop. And he had told his, you know, the people working in his shop that never sell anyone any item with a defect, with an aib, except that you disclose it. So one day he went to the shop. And the employee was working there, the person selling at his shop. And there was a cloth. And he knew about it, that they had a cloth that came from somewhere else and it had some kind of defect in it. So Imam Abu Hanifa, he said, what happened about that cloth, the one that came with the defect? So, oh, just yesterday I sold it. Did you mention to the customer the defect? He said, subhanAllah, I completely forgot. Imam Abu Hanifa said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He sent him and sent other people throughout the whole town to go and search and find the customer. Finally, after 4 or 5 days, they were able to identify and find the customer. And then they asked him, that look, you know, they told him that there's a defect in it. If you want it, you keep it. If you don't want it, we're ready to give your money back. This is Imam Abu Hanifa, one of the great scholars of the subcontinent. A lot of people are from the subcontinent. They've heard of one of the great sheikhs of the subcontinent, Hakim al-Ummah, the great wise man of the community, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah. He was a spiritual guide, a great mufassir, a great muhaddith, a faqih, a jurist, a righteous individual, author of 1,000 books, thousands of students and thousands of disciples. Once one of his disciples, whom he had actually given ijazah to further the teachings of deen, who he himself kind of became a sheikh, once he came to visit him, he asked him, how did you come? So he came by train. He had his son with him. He said, did you bring your son with you? He said, yes. He's asking him, how did your son come with you? He said, yes. Did you come by train? Yes. So how much did you pay the ticket price? Imagine the questions. Not asking about, did you do your ma'mulat yesterday? Did you do your tahajjud? Did you do your istighfar? None of those questions. Not checking his beard. Not looking at his thawb. What are the questions? This is Hakim al-Ummah. Did you pay full your son's ticket? How much fare did you pay? He said, oh, half price ticket. He said, what's the rule? I thought, how old is your son? He said, he's 13, but he gets away for 12, so I paid half price. Because the rule was from 13, you pay the full price fare. He said, oh, he's 13, but he got away. I said, he's 12. He said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You are, forget being, you know, giving ijazah. He revoked his ijazah. He took his ijazah back. He said, you're a fasiq. Let alone being a sheikh, you're guilty of fraud, of lying, of deception, of theft, of robbery, and 101 sins. How can you even consider yourself to be a spiritual individual? Impossible. This same Hakim al-Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah, he used to ensure, when he used to travel, he used to tell his students, when you go and travel by train, there used to be a rule that you can take a certain amount of luggage, but if you have extra, you have to pay for it. People, you know, bribe and this and that. Bribe, major sin. Ar-rashi wal-murtashi kilahuma fi an-nar. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the giver of the bribe and the taker of bribe, both are in the fire of hell. May Allah save us all. Once he was traveling himself, Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah, he went, he was a known figure. Everybody knew him. And he was weighing his luggage to pay extra money. So a guard came and said, Shaykh, you don't need to, don't worry, I am here, I am in control, in charge of things. Take everything, you don't have to pay anything. So he said to him, so how long are you going to be here? He said, I'm here to the next station, but don't worry, the next god that comes, I'll tell him. He'll take over everything, care of you, don't worry about it. He says, how long will he be with me? He said, don't worry, until where your destination is, he'll be there, he's until the train ends. Because I need to go somewhere else, as well. Because I need to go into the grave. Will that god come with me to the grave as well? I need to go to Allah. Will that god take care of my things when I'm by Allah? He said, you're not in ownership of this train. You can't make the decisions. It doesn't belong to you. You're just an employee. And he made the guy's eyes opened, and he paid the full price for his luggage. This is deen and this is Islam. And this is what we are being taught. Traveling, and there's a hadith, you know, lying. We said fraud and deception. Lying has become one of the major activities in business and trade in this day and age. Lying is a major sin anyway. Ayatul munafiqi thalath. One of the signs of being a hypocrite. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبْ. When he speaks a lie. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانْ وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجَرْ. The fourth thing mentioned in another hadith. But lying. People have false medical certificates. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Haram. This is lying is not just verbally with your mouth. Going to the doctor and getting a false, if the doctor knows he is sinful and you are sinful. False medical certificates. False character reference certificates. False testimony. Shahadatu zur. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this is from the kaba'ir. Major sins. Just like alcohol consumption. Just like zina. Just like adultery. This is minal kaba'ir. Ala wa shahadatu zur. Giving false testimony. False testimony. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when two people buy and sell, فَإِنْ صَدَقَ. When if they are both truthful, وَبَيَّنَا. And they are open about everything. I am selling you this. They are truthful. You're selling a car. You say everything clearly. They are both truthful. And they are both clear and frank and open. بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. Allah places barakah and blessings in the trade. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَإِنْ كَذَبَ وَكَتَمَ. However, if they lied and if they hide facts, muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima, the barakah, the blessings of their business is vanished. Allah takes, destroys it. Allah removes any barakah. There's a hadith in the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi, ثَلَاثَةٌ. Three types of people. لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. Allah will not even look at them on the day of judgment. Allah will not purify them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They have severe punishment. Hadith sound, Hassan, in the Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi. What does he say? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said three people. Al-Mannanu wal-Musbilu wal-Munfiqu sil'atahu bil-Halifi al-Kadhil. I'll talk to you about just the third one, the time is short. One of the three people that Allah will not even look at on the Day of Judgment and punish them severely is the one who sells his goods with a false oath. Wallahi, brother, I bought it for £2. For you, it's 250. It's just for you this much. It's absolutely haram if you didn't buy for that much. You have to, don't tell him if you don't want to tell him the price. Only for you, brother, only for you, mashallah. For you, it's this much. You know, one of my teachers, Shaykh Taqi Uthmani, hafidhahullah, he was relating from his father, Mufti Shafi, rahimahullah, that when they first moved to Karachi, Pakistan, they said they used to have a local grocer. He said, every time we used to go to him, he used to say, Shaykh, you know, for you, it's only this much. For you, he said, for after 2 years, we found that it was really only for us. You know what I mean? But it really was. He was taking extra. He used to, every time they used to go to the shop and they said, don't worry, for you it's this much. After 2 years, when they found out the other prices in other shops, they really found out that he was charging them double. He was charging for 1 year double the price. Only for you this much. Deception. Gharar. This is haram. All haram means of earning money. Many Muslims are involved in the business and trade. A'udhu billah. How can they be? Trade of alcohol, of licensed shops. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. حُرِّمَتِ التِّجَارَةُ فِي الْخَمَرِ. Absolutely filthy money. Any money that is gained has to all be given away to the extremely poor. You can't, even someone makes a tawbah today and they have £50,000 that they've earned through the sale of alcohol, they cannot use a penny from it. Otherwise, their tawbah is not accepted. It's haram money. It's filthy money. And remember, it's got no barakah, no blessings in it anyway. Even if you keep it, you will not be happy because Allah has not placed barakah. Allah, when He removes the barakah, He removes the contentment and the tranquility from that wealth. You could have the money physically, but you won't have that peace of mind and you will not have that tranquility. So remember, that's something that's no-go area. You cannot buy and sell alcohol stuff. There's also a lot of other things that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, things like gharar and darar, hoarding. He said, talaqqi rukban la yabi'u badin li hadir. A person should not go, you know, in the olden times, people from outside villages used to come to the city. Some people used to go to them quickly and buy everything. Number one, they used to deceive them. Oh, in the city, the price is for this much, give everything to me. Deception. And another reason was that they would come, gather, hoard. This is what we call ihtikar. Al-ihtikaru mal'unun. The one who guards and hoards and preys, P-R-E-Y, on the vulnerability of the other people and creates a monopoly and then gathers all the food item, basic needs and necessities of people, and then comes to a state where nobody has it, then he takes it out and then he increases the price. He wants to harm people. This person is cursed according to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I mentioned about loans and debts. Be very, very careful. مَطَرُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ. And we have to really ensure. There are many other things to say. What time is Maghrib? 47, 50? Exact?
52.
Oh, 52. We have to be very, very careful. There are many other things. Many things. Life, another thing. Within the family, at the household, we don't realize. One of the great, you know, responsibility of a Muslim is to ensure that the dealings are clear-cut. Clear-cut. Make sure everything's clear. You have a family business. There's a saying of some early scholars, Sahaba or Tabi'een, not a hadith, but it's a saying. Some said it's a hadith, but most likely it's not a sound hadith. Ta'asharu, but the meaning is correct. Ta'asharu kal ikhwan. Live like brothers. But transact like strangers. Be very clear. Even if you have a family business, you know, in the family you have a business. The father starts the business. One son graduates and then he comes and joins the business. In what capacity is he working? Does he have a share in the business? Is he an employee? Where are his wages and salary? Or is he just voluntary helping the dad, the father? Nothing's clarified. We tell them, it's all family matters. Okay, today's family matters. After 15 years, you'll have a massive dispute, and it happens. Then they come running to the ulama and the sheikhs and the muftis, the fatwa, this and nothing's clarified. When the father passes away, inheritance issues, major disputes arise because nothing was clarified. You're building a house, a property. I had a case recently, 2-3 months ago. A house was being built. Major disputes. Brothers are not talking to brothers. Lifelong enemies, blood brothers. Why? Because when they purchased that, when they built the house, nothing was clarified. Whether one party was giving a loan or was it a share? If it was a loan, then you give the exact amount back. If it was a 20% share, then it's the market value and they get 20%. Who's giving money in what capacity? Be very careful clarifying your dealings. Clarification is one of the most important things for a Muslim. تَعَاشَرُوا كَالْإِخْوَانِ. Live like brothers, but transact like strangers. Everything, write it, be frank, be open about all the dealings. And then there are other issues like مُضَارَبَة. You know, people, they do the investment. They give money on investment. People want the cake and they want to eat it at the same time. You know what that means? People want to give money. My principal amount is guaranteed, brother, but give me profit as well. And if there's no profit, you have to give me my money back. That's haram. In Islam says, if you're investing, it's profit or loss. You take the risk. When you get married, you get the benefit, but you also get the wrath of your wife. That's the difference between zina, which is only benefit, that's it. You don't have to live with them. That's the difference between bay' and riba, and zina and nikah. You invest money, it's based on profit and loss. Your money is not guaranteed. Your principal amount is not guaranteed. The moment you have that condition, that your principal amount is guaranteed, that's the moment where any extra pound or penny is not profit, it's interest and it's riba. When you give a loan to someone, when your money is guaranteed, it becomes a loan. Automatically, as soon as your money is guaranteed, it's a loan. Whatever you want to call it, you can call it sadaqah, but it's a loan, it's qard. Anyone gives you anything extra in return, it's interest, it's riba, and it's haram. These are issues, we need to learn about them. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu banned people from the market. You know when he became the Khalifa, Umar ibn Khattab, he said, whoever does not learn the fiqh of business and trade, فَلَا يَدْخُلَنَّ أَسْوَاقَنَا, he must not enter our markets. You want to come and trade in our markets? Sayyidina Umar said, go and learn the fiqh al-buyu'i wal-mu'amalat. Go and learn the fiqh and the rules of business and trade. And then just general moral ethics. You know the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they spread Islam. We always talk about the Sahaba. There are cases, read the history. There was a case where Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions, they went to different parts of the world. There's one Sahabi, he has a shop here, he's a trader. Some of them went as merchants, not to do da'wah in the path of Allah, as merchants, as traders. We can go the whole world and do da'wah and preach and make da'wah. But then our dealings are haram and we are taking loans and not paying and we are involved in theft and robbery and deception and fraud and the greatest cheaters and we have the greatest beard and we want to preach Islam. It's not going to work like that. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they went as traders. And one of them opened a shop. A customer came and he said, good, can you go and buy it for my friend down there? He said, you have the item? He said, yes, I have it. What's the price? Same price as there. Why don't you sell it to me? He said, no, go and buy it from him. Why don't you sell it? He said that, look, we've both opened our shops at the same time in the morning. Since morning, I've already had 3-4 customers. I've seen my brother that he's not had no customer. I want my brother to also get the profit that I get. Go to him. People would become Muslims by looking at this practice of the Sahaba. These are moral ethics. We have the rules and then we have moral ethics. There's a hadith, two hadiths in Sahih al-Bukhari, and I'll end with these two. There's a hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاعَ سَمْحًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى سَمْحًا إِذَا اقْتَضَى. Amazing hadith. The chapter title heading, which Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu brings, بَابٌ, the chapter, السَّهُولَةُ وَالسَّمَاحَةُ فِي الْبَيْعِ, the chapter in regards to being easy, being gentle when you buy and sell. Be gentle, don't be aggressive. That's the title. And then he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hadith, Allah have mercy on the man who is samhan, who is gentle when he buys, who is gentle when he sells, who is gentle when he demands his right. Even when trading, be gentle, don't be aggressive. Don't argue, don't yell. In this seerah of the shama'il of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one thing mentioned is لَمْ يَكُنْ سَخَّابًا فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ, he never used to yell in the market. So that's one hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. And the last hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, which I will end this talk with, is where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that there was a man, كَانَ رَجُلٌ يُدَاجِنُ النَّاسِ, he would give loans to people. When the time used to come to give, فَإِذَا رَأَى مُعْسِرًا, when he used to see a people that this person is very not in a good state, things are tight for him, he قَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ, he would tell his young people who would work for him. He was a big businessman. He used to have a lot of money and give everybody loans. He used to see that people are in genuine difficulty, they can't pay it in time. So he told his people who worked for him that, look, when you see a genuine person who genuinely doesn't have anything to pay us back with, he said, تَجَاوَزُوا عَنْهُ, just forgive him. لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يَتَجَاوَزَ عَنَّا, maybe Allah might forgive us in the next life. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that because of this, on the day of judgment, in the next life, Allah forgave all his sins and entered him in Jannah. These are parts of Islam, and this is what Islam is about, brothers, inshallah. I end with this, أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلِّمْ وَسَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ.